Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I heard your opening comments. I mean, so much seems to have happened since then, but I really felt compelled to call. I'm talking about, well, for me, one of the things that I felt to call about was an article about a young performer who came here to a British, well, I think of Nigeria. And it really upset me. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to start by reading part of an exchange I had with a Ghanaian friend of mine. And it was a WhatsApp exchange. And he said, "I'm very well. How are you? I was just speaking to some friends of mine about a vacation next year with your with our families. They are very excited. I say, just let me know. We need a direct flight, but then it is possible." And he went on to say there's one being organized directly from Nigeria. And then he went on to say further, "Only problem is a vacation for Africans is not on the beach. They like shopping and nightlife." Now, that to me is, first of all, what it is saying to me, we need to understand, and we've talked about it, and I certainly spent, since leaving my last place of employ, let me put it that way, I went to Ghana twice last year, and I can tell you that the service I got in the hotel, wherever it was excellent. Part of what I was doing was trying to encourage Africans, particularly Ghanaians, because that's where it was, to come and visit Barbados. The other thing I want to say very quickly is that the persons that I interacted with were not persons who had to save up for a holiday. They are persons of means. They're business people, young professionals, former professional athletes who have earned and done well with their money. And it is something that we really have to think about, because we are talking about creating new markets. When we look at what's happening in the U.S., and I remember you mentioned to somebody earlier that the tourism generally is going to take about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a situation, and if you check the statistics, COVID is not as rampant in Africa. I mean, we can look at Barbados, our climates are similar, and that may have something to do with it. The nightmare that the people were dreading is manifesting itself now as winter starts, because the epidemic started as you were going out of winter, not going into winter.
Mm-hmm.
So what I really want to suggest to Barbadians, that we do a serious assessment, because I looked at the picture. Let me look at the picture. And I saw a young man dressed, and from the way I saw him dressed, I saw somebody who was not hand to mouth, let me put it that way, who in essence would fit in to any resort in Barbados or anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to ask ourselves, not only as workers but as management, what are we saying to our employees? How are we thinking about tourists?
Yep.
Tourists are not only white people or non-black people. And many of us, I certainly can talk about the experiences that I have. And this is because I've been doing some work. I want to share a little bit of information with people, because Africans, in fact, this guy came out of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, there were about 348,000 Nigerians alone, Africa's 50 countries. Nigeria alone, there were 348,000 living in the U.S. And Nigerians, those people sent home $6.2 billion in remittances in 2017. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're really talking about is a segment of the black population, whether it is in the U.S. or in Canada, because if you look at Canada, you would find that they're the fourth leading source country for new immigrants, and they're not just immigrants; they're called economic class immigrants, which means they're professionals who go and earn high salary and are given priority in terms of immigration and so on. So we really have to check ourselves, because as far as I'm concerned, if we are seriously looking to see how not only diversify, because that is hopefully part of a strategy, but to tap into a market as a means of keeping that industry alive in the short term, because I agree with you, if you're talking cruise, if you're talking land-based, we're not going to get anywhere near our traditional numbers for the next 2 or 3 years. And if the pandemic is not taking a toll on Africa as it has done in Europe, and we can have flights, those persons and there are many millionaires, there are many billionaires. Nigeria has a population of probably 280 million people. And if you take out 1% of those as very wealthy people, you can see what numbers you're talking about travel. They're well traveled. And with the crisis that the world is facing in terms of the pandemic, they will be looking for other places to go. Apart from the fact that there's been interest created in the region, for example, when you had the year of return, etc. Mm-hmm. So I am really concerned that whether it is high-end hotels and restaurants or kind of what I call budget-type operations and so on, that we understand that when we look at people, we can't look at their color of their skin. And it's ironic because the majority of Barbadians are black people.
And this is my challenge here, ma'am, because we talk about, we have a hospitality institute in Barbados where we train people in culinary arts, we train people in all sorts of aspects of the hospitality industry. But my problem is it filters down or it filters up, depending on which way you look at it. It has happened to me. You walk into a duty-free shop, and because you don't look like a visitor, nobody pays you attention because they're visitors in the establishment. And they make that determination based on how the person looks. That's the first step that, to me, is wrong. Because whether it's U.S. or Deutschmarks or Barbadian dollars or EC dollars, it's money in your pocket. Right now, none of the duty-free shops could tell me what they're selling. Some of them closed.
Most of them are closed. And I remember I had a schoolmate who came home from England, and she had gone into one of these duty-free shops and bought a pair of gold bangles for herself and decided on the next visit, because she had decided once she retired, she was coming home. And this was even before she retired, but she was coming home almost maybe once, and then she started coming twice a year and so on. And she decided she wanted to buy a pair for her daughter. We went into a store, and we were standing there, and people came in, and we were standing there. Then I opened my purse. I took out a discount card, which you got from the store because you had bought multiple purchases. Mm-hmm. And I asked the woman, is this still valid? And she said yes, and we turned and walked out. I was telling her, understand that person who came in here after us, you may never see again.
Yeah.
You know, and this is an issue. But I really, it has to start, though, Dennis, with the person, the individual, because I companies may have policies, but I'll share an experience that I had recently with the shutdown here. I was invited as a guest of a local family who were celebrating an anniversary, and they were at one of these villa-type places. And I can tell you that when we drove in, the man looked at us, the security guy looked at us like if we were chopped liver. That's the best way I could describe it.
Yep.
You know, we sat in the car, and I was really ready to tell him, look, turn around. But I was being driven by a friend, because rather than several of us drive several cars, we pulled and went to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to myself, but hold on. This place, you could, as you obviously could run a rat or whatever through this place, hardly anybody. And you have people who are the same staycation story that you're talking about. And that's how they're treating us. Well, I really hope, because the same gentleman whose WhatsApp message I read came to Barbados, and that was part of a project where we worked on a film that was shot in Barbados, Jamaica, and Ghana. And he came here as the line producer of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and fell in love with Barbados and decided that he has to bring his family. Because when he told them he was coming here for a premiere and so on, everybody was like, so why can't we go? I mean, but so then it is like, okay, I went to Barbados and I liked it. The main actor came here, and I made sure, because I was nervous, and I am not telling a lie, that he would have had a bad experience, because he was so hyped on coming to Barbados, because he went to Jamaica, and I said, you can't come to the Caribbean and not visit Barbados. So every step of the way, I made sure I chose where he went, where he stayed, and all of these things. I told the people at the hotel, I am booking in. This is an African friend of mine, and whatever, whatever, whatever.
But you see, and here's the other challenge we face too, okay? When you look mostly at cable TV that comes out of North America, where portrayals are made of people in a certain light, when you follow online stories that come out of news agencies where a certain line is followed, when you look at even the BBC, when I listen to people who talk on this program, and they said, I was looking at this documentary, and it showed all those poor people starving in Africa. And when you hear people saying, we're going on missionary work to X and Y place because there are people there who are starving. When you hear people say Haitians eating mud cakes because of voodoo. If you're fed this as a diet and you have nothing else to compare it with, you will say Nigerians are schemers. They're in the newspapers all the time about schemes. They lock up this person for doing that. When you read these things, and that's the only input you have, when nobody sends you a picture of the airport that they landed at in Africa before they went to the poor, depressed area to minister to the people, you know, who eat in mud, you will have one type of impression. So when I ask people, what does the airport look like? Did you catch a taxi? What did the taxi look like? They don't answer. What they talk about are the poor children who barefoot, people with no shoes, people eating mud cakes. You're fed a diet that people seem to enjoy, coming back to this word I keep using, because we supposedly better because we made it across on a slave ship. I don't know why you're laughing. That's how people. That's why I hear when I listen to it, and it worries me. Because,
no, I am not laughing at that. You know, tell you what I'm laughing about.
Because it ruined.
I'm laughing because as you speak about the children, the one thing that happened, I remember one afternoon I went to the hotel to pick up the young man.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were getting in the car, because I listened to Brass Tacks, there was a woman talking to you about these Africans with their runny noses. And I turned to Mowley and I said, listen, I need to turn this off. He said, no, let me just hear what it is. And I was basically embarrassed because here was this woman expressing to you, and I think I might have sent you a note afterwards to tell you that I had this person in my car and this person was talking about, and you obviously corrected her, speaking the same kinds of things. He had an interesting experience in Jamaica, and they caught it on, you know, video, some of the outtakes, not outtakes, but some of the images they captured as they were producing this film. And this elderly Jamaican held him and said to him, I didn't know Africans were so good looking. And I was like, you know, I mean, this is a fellow who looks like any Caribbean person. I mean, but it really is about mindset, conditioning. And I would say to anybody who watches those documentaries, go online if you want to, go on YouTube. You can find them if you want to go to Netflix. You can watch and several African movies where you get realistic depictions from the wealth, poverty, the whatever, but across the spectrum. But what I am really worried about is a Barbadian, let me bring it back home, who is working, who is concerned that we need to make sure that we can find ways to continue to earn foreign exchange, because even with import substitution, we will still need to import some things.
Correct.
That we are gonna look at somebody and assume. I mean, the young people I'm talking about are all in their countries millionaires, in the late 20s, in the mid-30s and early 40s. These are not. I stayed at a hotel in Ghana, lovely boutique hotel I would call it, owned by a former professional football player who is not yet 40 years old.
And those are the people.
His wife and children to Barbados.
And those are the people we should understand, because we watch them all the time. We follow football in this country just as passionately as we follow cricket. And we see who the players are. We see their complexions. We see their hairstyles. And we see their paychecks. So if we can, I mean, you know, they're playing for German teams. They're playing for Italian teams. They're playing for English teams. They ain't playing for African teams. And they're making real money. Yeah. I see John nodding. He and Ronnie could take up this and run with it. Anyway. Thanks for your comments. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Dennis?
Yes, it is.
This is Victor Young. You know who he is, huh?
I think so, sir.
Yeah, listen. You can only speak the way that you speak because you came through the front door. You didn't come through the back door. So it means you can call a spade a spade. The other people who you see running from certain things, they cannot call their spirit, because a lot of them have come through the back door, and they're looking for nice little handouts and telling you they belong to this particular party and that kind of thing. I'll give you a little idea of something in my early days, because the guy who just was giving you a thing about the Observer paper, he also worked for that paper. But I'll tell you something in my early days. When I resigned from the fire service, there were two of us who resigned. And they were saying they don't make justice of peace, because if you come from the fire service and police department, no. But the guy who came up with me, he got me the justice of peace. And I asked him, how they say, you know, the first thing he told me, you either go belong to a party or be close to a politician. I tell you, well, I would never get none. Because I even said this. When you see at the senior games, I get in the overall trophy, which you would know that. I even tell the same policies I'm uncomfortable staying up among them when they're handing me that. You understand? So I am saying you could afford to speak the way you're speaking because you come through the front door. If you had come through the back door, you would got to be hiding about and can't call a spade when you know a spade. And the worst thing to deceive is your conscience. You have a good day, boy, and keep doing the job you're doing.
Okay, sir, thank you very much.
And be honest to yourself.
I always try. Let me just make a statement that have just been sent. The broadcast we carried between the hours of noon and 28 minutes after was a paid political broadcast from the Barbados Labour Party. It was not a press conference. I've just been reminded or informed that it was a paid political broadcast from 12 to 12:28 by the Barbados Labour Party. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
I believe you're laughing.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all.
Oh, you're not laughing.
No,
Mr.
I'm not.
Johnson,
I'm not.
First, I would like to find out. The Barbados Labour Party had their press conference about 2 Sundays ago. And I would like to know, is Ms. McConney still the leader of the Barbados Labour Party?
Sir, she is the president of the Barbados Labour Party, as far as I know. Or the chairman, sorry, of the Barbados Labour Party.
Oh, she's as far still
as
the chairman.
Know. As far as I know. I've seen nothing to the I've seen nothing to the contrary.
Okay. Well, I get different news, so that's why I want to find out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not
I don't
that.
Get news. I'm not a newsman.
Boy, I heard something then. Yeah. There's a lady that's supposed to be a member of the Senate. And I'm getting information that she's working in another country. I would like to find out if it's true. Because I think it's important. I think when you is given a position in the highest court of the land, and you're no longer there, I believe people should know. And my real reason for calling, I listen to what, as you just described it, a paid broadcast.
That's what I was informed, sir, that it was a paid political broadcast.
Okay. And I'm telling you this, and that's why I don't call a gentleman called Dennis Johnson.
Okay.
Because I know Dennis Johnson, the speaker's mine.
Can't speak yours?
Okay. But I can remember the late 70s and the early 80s. And in the last 2 years and 5 months, it's worse than that time. So I would like you to be careful.
Why?
I will debate that another time.
No, but there ain't nothing to debate. Why do I have to be careful?
Okay. I am saying, if you follow the press in Barbados today,
mm-hmm.
they can't do what you just did.
Why not?
Huh?
Why not?
Let me get to my point here now.
No, tell me why I can't.
You just did it.
I just did what?
I can't see a can.
Exactly.
I can't see a can.
Sir, listen to me. Listen to me for a minute, right? Just 60 seconds. I'll take 60 seconds and then I'll let you go, right? Everybody can do whatever they want to do. All they have to do is to be able to deal with the consequences. Go ahead, sir.
I love that.
That's all.
I love that.
I could jump into a pool if I can't swim or drown. I shouldn't say that with George what's happening to the youngster.
But let me
I could step into traffic if I want to. I could get run over by a car. Deal with the consequences.
I hear that. I hear that.
Good.
Now, whilst that's as far as they understand, how about listening on this about? The last time we were here was 43,000 people.
About.
Okay. Now, I now listen to our Prime Minister. And she explained to us she's going to expose the truth that you have to come to St. George tonight. Or do like me, hook up to the internet and listen to it. This is what I'm going to do. But I would like to know, everybody to get the truth. You didn't believe where I start today with the best audience for it, where you know you're sure of over 40,000 people that will hear the real truth instead of waiting on it. Because our Prime Minister was criticizing what's happening on platforms in that paid advertisement that was just low. So why should people then wait to hear platforms that's not speaking the truth?
Ooh.
To hear what our Prime Minister is telling us would be the truth tonight. Let me hear it on Brass Stats.
They will have to pay for another political broadcast.
No, I mean the one that just finished.
And that's what I tell you, they'll pay for another one.
But this is what I'm saying. Our present Prime Minister is the most aggressive and critical opposition leader I have ever met in my life studying politics. Criticize everything you could think about. But it's a crime now. I always believe that if you have a football team and you're going up against a team, let's say Chelsea versus Liverpool, that team has to sit down and look at the opponent and work out all the weaknesses of that team before they go on the field. What is wrong with a political party learning about something that they feel they can get mileage out of doing it? Mr. Johnson, what's wrong with that?
I don't know, sir. What do you see wrong with
but
it?
What I'm saying is this here. Let me listen. Our present Prime Minister, I sit right here on my bed that I'm sitting now, because I'm not too dangerous. I'm right here on my bed. When the last government cut their salary by 10%, and then after 31 months of a 60-month term, 31 or 60 months, when I asked back for it, I sit right here and heard our present Prime Minister critical of it and call the fellas all types of things. And then our present Prime Minister take out the range of power. She took about 10% and add a 5% rate. You just were on people. At that time, the last government was so unpopular at that time that even a simple issue of taking back what you had given away was an issue. But no, the dump can be an issue. Something that's over 5 years old, that Mr. Clark has spoken to us many times on it, that he's going to get it fixed, the former MP for St. George. But you should not talk about it because it's too close to the election. You know, this is madness yet, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I will say again what I've said to people on more than one occasion. I consider most political speeches to be just that, political speeches. I don't sit down and ascribe to the levels at which, you people attach to political speeches and politicians. And by the way, I have been checking back while you were talking. You may have heard a little click-clacking. The president of the Senate spoke on the absence of Ms. Moore from the chamber during one of the sittings in the past. So I think the statement was made as to where she is. I'm not sure the statement included what she was doing, but the statement certainly said that she wasn't there and that her absence was duly recognized by the chair. I want to thank you for your contributions on this Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. We'll be covering the outcome of the St. George North by election tomorrow evening, and I should be part of that team, so you should hear me again at that point. On behalf of John Stout, our technical operator producer today, I'm Dennis Johnson. Good afternoon. Because of the information sent to me that the half an hour was a paid political broadcast, I issue an unreserved apology to the Honorable Prime Minister for stating that what I thought was a press conference was actually a political broadcast and that she'd stepped on the line. So I do extend an apology to the Prime Minister.